hear him over there giving me a hearty amen to that. He served God longer than I've been alive, longer than a lot of us have been alive. He served the Lord, and he says he has found it to be true that the longer, the more he goes, the more he knows there is to know about the Lord. And I thank God for that this evening. Wouldn't you hate to think that there was a point in which we've figured it all out and we've got God all figured out? I wouldn't want to serve a God that I could figure out with my human mind, because he wouldn't be bigger than I am if I could figure him out completely. Oh, but I serve a God that's past finding out. And when I mine his depths, I find out it doesn't reach the bottom. How sonar systems work is they'll shoot a sound wave out of the bottom of a ship, and however long it takes for that sound wave to return determines the depth. They use that to measure the depth of something. Well, can I tell you tonight, when we measure the depth of God and how deep the things of God are, we never have a return signal, because it is unfathomable depths that we cannot attain to. But that's all right with me. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to have it all figured out. I can just simply trust him as being the infinite God, the one past finding out. And I thank the Lord for that this evening. If you got your Bibles, we're going to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 13 tonight. Remember, after service, we'll be having the fellowship for my birthday. I know it's awkward to announce, but nonetheless, there it is. So if you want to be a part of that, please stay and be a part. There will be refreshments and things provided for those who stay, and I encourage you. I'd love to fellowship with you, if nothing else, and you don't have to even tell me happy birthday. I'd just love to fellowship with you, but we're looking forward to that directly following service. But tonight, I want to go here to the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to turn here to read a particular story from the life of Elisha that I feel to draw some application from this evening. And I want to say a few comments as you're turning there to the book of 2 Kings. I know you're studying in the book of Kings, and I'm trying not to overlap, and I don't think this will overlap too much. It seems like y'all's Sunday school courtlies are covering a lot of ground at a time, so if I take a little portion of something, don't feel too bad. I didn't even look ahead to see if this was in there, but hopefully it won't take too much ground, and I don't feel like it will. But how many times do we pray prayers unto God that would shock us if God actually answered them? Come on. How many times do we pray something, and if say, for example, there's something tonight, you come to these altars and you ask God to do it, and tomorrow morning you get word that God did it, how many of us will be shocked by some of the answers? I feel that there are many times that our effectiveness as believers is hindered by our own lack of effort and also our own lack of expectation. Because while we pray many times, we feel that it is still a bit of a stretch. Anybody ever pray that way sometime, and you're praying and you're saying, Lord, I really want you to do this. I love to see this happen. I want to see this person saved, or this situation reversed, or this circumstance. But really, in our heart of hearts, we're thinking, man, that's a little bit of a stretch. I don't know how in the world God will do it. Well, in the story that we're about to read tonight, just to lay a little context, Elisha, the man of God, is sick. He's getting ready to die, but he has one final message for the king here, and God's got some victories planned for his people. All that he requires is someone willing to be obedient no matter what others may say. It was the king's responsibility to obey fully. But let's look at what takes place here. Familiar story from the Old Testament here. 2 Kings 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 14. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says this: Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, Put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. We'll stop right there this evening. And as we consider this Old Testament story tonight, there's some lessons that I feel can be applied to our prayer lives this evening. And I just simply want to preach from the title, simply this: Empty the Quiver. Empty the Quiver. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness, for your love, and for your mercy. I pray, Lord, as we enter into this time of preaching, oh, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint the preaching of your word. Send by that anointing that makes preaching easy and effective. And, Lord, at the end of this message, I pray that you would get all the glory. Lord, let our hearts be stirred. Let our minds be stirred up by way of remembrance, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would press in prayer until we see you do what you have promised that you would do. And, Lord, I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. There are just a few points here tonight that I would like for us to focus on this evening within the story and what it parallels here and how I want to bring this out, or how I feel like the Lord laid it in my heart and I'm going to endeavor to bring it out with God's help. First of all, the first thing I want us to notice is what was provided here. Notice what was provided for King Joash here. First of all, the exact weapon was provided for him. Notice 2 Kings chapter number 13 and verse 15. The Bible says this: and Elisha said unto the king, or unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. There was no question as to what was to be used in this test of faith. The bow and arrow that God had provided the king by the hand of Elisha. A stone and a sling wouldn't produce the same effect, nor would a javelin or a spear. It was the bow and arrow that God designed for this provision to be made. Simply, there weren't weapons that God had chosen other than this bow and arrow to perform the task at hand. Can I just stop right here this evening? I thought about this. Like King Joash here, we have been provided with the proven weapons that God says will work every time. I know I often quote it, but it is still true tonight. There in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, Paul would remind us, he said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, or they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, the casting down of imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Can I say this evening, and it's nothing new, it's not going to be a shocking revelation to you, but one of the great weapons at our disposal in this warfare that we have to fight is the awful weapon of prayer. We have at our disposal an awful weapon when it comes to prayer, and God has provided the weapon. You know something? Jesus handed us this great weapon and instructed that we could pray with great expectation in the time of adversity. Oh, there was no questions asked. I like when John takes pen in hand and he's writing his first epistle about, and he's talking about many different subjects there, but as he brings the letter to a close there in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 14, he would say this: and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. Why is that? Because God has provided us with the weapon of prayer and has told us what it is and how to use it. Aren't you glad for that this evening? God has provided, just like King Joash was provided with the exact instrument of God's deliverance. We too have been provided with the exact instruments of what God desires for our deliverance tonight. Oh, you know what Paul would write there in the book of Ephesians as he's bringing that letter to a close in Ephesians chapter number 6. He talks about how we wrestle not, oh, against those things of the world, but rather we wrestle against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. But he said, know this, you've not been left alone, in my own words. He said, God's given you some armor, and we are to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the evil day, because God has provided the means whereby we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. The second thing that was provided here was the explicit instructions. Not only did Elisha tell Joash exactly what weapon to use, but he also provided hands-on instruction. If you still got your Bibles, there's 2 Kings 13, verse 16. Oh, here, Elisha said to the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. You know, I chuckle a little bit when I think about this picture. Here we have an aged man of God. He's sick, about to die, most likely feeble. He's not going to recover from the sickness that he has. In fact, the very next little portion of Scripture is going to tell us about the death of Elisha and the last miracle that happens after his death. But this feeble man of God takes this young king in hand, and you know what he does? He grabs the bow and arrow, and he said, go ahead and pick up your bow and arrow, and I'm going to give you a little shooting lesson tonight. Think about that. I chuckle a little bit when I think about this, because most likely the king was well versed in how to use a bow and arrow. He was most likely a man of war. He had been trained on how to use the implements of warfare before. But here you have a sickly man of God who was not a warrior by trade, but he was a farmer by trade before the call of God landed upon him. And here he is. He's showing the mighty king how to handle a bow and arrow. Now think about that. What a picture that must have been for King Joash as the man of God takes him in hand and said, do it like this, son. I want you to do it exactly as I show you. Oh, yes. He takes this young king and not only walks him through the process of shooting his bow, but he puts his hand upon the king's hands and helps him perform the task. I imagine him as he takes the young king and he pulls back the bowstring and he says, just like this here, son. And with the help of the man of God, the first shot is fired in the war against Syria. Oh, here it is. Did the king have to have Elisha's help in order to shoot the bow and arrow? No, but he needed that instruction to do it the way God wanted him to do it. Oh, because you know what? I believe there's a lesson to be learned in here. Like in this story, not only does the Lord provide the weapon of prayer, but also he teaches us how to use it. Aren't you glad for that this evening? Oh, you know the story there in Luke chapter number 11. Jesus had been praying there. The disciples overheard him. And when he comes down from praying, what do the disciples do? They look at Jesus and they say, Master, will you teach us how to pray? And he said, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, he talks about forgiving debts as we forgive others. Oh, and then finally, oh, I like the way the book of Matthew records the story. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What was he doing? He was giving instructions on how to pray. Can I tell you, before the disciples ever heard Jesus pray, they knew they had prayed before. I guarantee you they had opened their lips and talked to God before. But when they heard Jesus praying, they realized there was something different about this type of praying. Oh, this was prayer that was effectual. It worked something in the life of Jesus, and they wanted to be able to pray like he prayed. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus didn't just provide us with the weapon of prayer, but he instructed us on how to use the weapon? He takes us in hand and shows us exactly how to be effective in our praying. Oh, yes. You know what Paul would say? I like what he says there in Romans chapter number 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what it is, that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints of God according to the will of God. Oh, yes, aren't you glad that while we are commanded to pray, we are also given help to know how to pray, even when we don't know what to say? How many's ever felt that in the prayer closet? And you got down to pray and say, Lord, I don't really have the words, but will you just pray through me? And you feel the Spirit of God groaning on the inside. As I can just picture this prophet like reaching into the hands of Joash and showing him exactly how to pull back the weapon. Oh, so often I feel like the Lord does that in our prayer lives. We get down to pray and we can feel him as he's stretching the bow, as he's putting in the arrow. He's making it hit the mark. Even when we don't understand or fully comprehend, God is giving us the strength. When we don't know how to pray, when we don't know what to pray for, God is allowing the prayer to hit the mark because we are willing to obey and pray according to God's will. Oh, as I picture this old prophet and this young king, as he's there helping him pull back the bowstring, I'm reminded of the words of David there in Psalms 144. Oh, in verse number 1, when he says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Oh, you know what? Joash didn't know how to defeat the Syrians. He didn't have a battle plan to overcome them. He didn't have a good strategy that was going to work in the long term. But guess what? God was going to show him the path forward. I'm glad to know that God doesn't just give us the instruction. Oh, but also he gives us the wherewithal on how to act upon the instruction. Oh, Elisha showed him where to aim and even helped him perform the task. Can I tell you, we too have been showed where to aim our prayers, and we've also been provided with the strength to perform the task. I know it wasn't the case with Joash. Joash could probably pull that bow just back just fine by himself. But you know what? There's times I've went to pull the bow back, so to speak, and I felt like I just didn't have the strength to do it. And you feel the mighty hand of God as he provides the strength. Lord, I don't really know where to aim this prayer. He points you in the direction and he leads you by his Spirit, because that is the life of the believer, because all that are of God are led by his Spirit, according to the book of Romans. Oh, yes. So we notice not only what is provided here, the explicit instructions that were given by the man of God, the careful care that he gives to make sure it's done according to God's will, but notice the exponential promise. This wasn't an exercise just to see how well the king could shoot arrows. It was the picture of an open-ended promise that God was making to the king on behalf of his people. Notice verse 17 of chapter 13. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. When Elisha declared that this is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, he was declaring that God would provide victory for as much as the king was willing to engage in the activity that God had prescribed. Can I tell you tonight, there's many situations that God will provide the victory for as much as we are willing to engage in the activity of prayer. I thought about that. How many times do we have stunted victories because of half-hearted efforts in our prayer closets? Well, you don't know. I got down and prayed 3 weeks ago, and I felt the Lord helping me. I felt the Spirit interceding. Well, how many times have we prayed about it since then? Oh, when we didn't feel the Spirit of God, when we didn't feel, if you would, the man of God's hands helping us pull back the bowstring. Oh, when we're sitting there pulling it back by faith, just trusting that we're doing what God has called upon us to do. Here, there is an exponential promise given unto the king. Think about it. This is the promise of God. If I can put it in any more plain terms than what's already there. You know what Elisha tells the king? He said, as many arrows as you can shoot out that window during this time of opportunity. He said, that's how many times God is going to deliver you from the Syrians. In other words, as much effort as you're willing to put in, that's as much God is going to exponentially move for you. It was not much effort for that king to take the bow and pull back and shoot out arrows, right? It'll be a lot harder to go into battle and fight against the Syrians, wouldn't it? Hand-to-hand combat versus just standing up there and having target practice. But you know what the Lord said? He said there's going to be an exponential promise attached to this, because what you're doing is only a picture of what I am going to do. This is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. In other words, I will deliver you for as much as you are willing to fire the arrow. But can I say a few more things about this evening? Not one of the arrows that the king shot out the window on that day killed any Syrians. You know what? It meant something else. He opened up the window and there stood a Syrian commander. He fired out there and killed one of them. You know what? That meant a great encouragement. Man, got one of them. Every one of those arrows that he fired out that window that day, it landed in the dirt. There was no precise target, just a general direction. You know what the man of God, he didn't say, hey, I've got a target set up out there for you to hit. We'll see how many times you can hit the bullseye. And how many times you hit the bullseye is going to be how many times God gives you deliverance. No, he just said, open up the window and fire toward the east. Well, the east is a big direction. And he said, you just fire into the ground out there and you hit it as many times as you are willing. There was no clear and precise destination, just a general direction. No present change was visible. What the king was doing was an act of faith in the promise of God. God was making the king a promise that as many arrows as he was willing to shoot, God was willing to work for their deliverance. Can I tell you tonight, I want to make a couple applications right here. Prayer is conducted in the same manner. We seldom see instant results when we pray. When was the last time you went down to prayer? And it does happen, but it's very seldom. When was the last time you went down to pray and you got to praying about something? You felt God just moving all over and you prayed about it. And before you ever got up, you got the phone call that God had already answered it. Don't you just wish that happened like that every single time? I do. I just wish every time I got down to pray that before I got done praying, I'd get interrupted every time with the phone calls about how God's answering the prayers that I'm praying. But it don't happen like that very often, does it? You know what? The king didn't hear a messenger come running up the aisle and say, oh, king, the Syrians have already surrendered. Oh, you're doing this act of faith. They've already surrendered. They know what God's going to do. No, that didn't happen. There was no change in the Syrian army just because the king was firing some arrows out a window. Can I tell you something? Many times when we're praying, we don't see any change in the surroundings. Often when we often pray with no precise target in mind, but just simply a general direction. Am I the only one that does that? I know there's sometimes we get very specific in our prayers, and that's okay. But you know what most of my praying involves, especially when I'm petitioning God for something? I don't know the specifics of what I'm praying for. I just know the generalities, and I know this is the general direction of what God wants to do. You know what I do? I pray for some of my lost siblings, and I say, Lord, whatever it takes. I don't have the specifics about how he's going to do it or when he's going to do it. I'm just praying, God, do it however you see fit. You know what? I don't have the specifics. I just got a general direction, and I'm casting some arrows in the direction that God has given. Oh, but did that make it any less an act of faith? Just because he didn't have a specific, target in mind. Prayer is an act of faith in the promise of God. That's exactly what it is. It is an act of faith in the promise of God. Very seldom when you're praying are you going to watch God immediately answer that prayer. But does that mean we throw the arrows aside and stop praying? No, that means we grab another one and we keep on firing until God moves as He promised He would move. I'm reminded of the words of our Lord later on there in Luke chapter number 11, still talking about prayer. He said these words, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." We often talk about that word ask. That word seek and that word knock, they seem like a one-time thing. They seem like going up to the door one time and knocking. They seem like going up to the throne of heaven one time and asking. They seem like going on one little journey and seeking. And if you don't come up with any results, I'm going to stop. But that's not the idea in the Greek. In fact, many of the newer translations pick up on this because it's in the present perfect tense. Those three commands are in the present perfect tense in the Greek. If I could, I can just change the wording a little bit and actually get a better understanding or help us understand a little better of what our Lord was saying. In other words, He said, ask and keep on asking. And you're going to receive. Seek and keep on seeking until you find. Knock and keep on knocking until the door gets open. That's what the promise of the Lord is. It isn't because I fired an arrow 3 days ago and I haven't seen God move yet. I'm doing this as an act of faith because I believe in the promise of God. Oh, I say this, maybe you fired some arrows in a general direction with little results yet. Can I encourage you tonight to take the bow in hand and keep on firing, because prayer is an act of faith in the promise of God. You may say, Brother Shane, I don't have a precise target, but just a general direction. Then keep shooting in the arrows in the general direction that God has given you until He does what He promised He would do. Oh, but whatever you do, keep firing the arrows. Whatever you do, keep the bow in hand and don't slack yourself concerning what God has promised. So not only what was provided here, let's notice the second thing, what was performed. We see that the king was provided with the exact weapon, the explicit instruction, and this exponential promise that what as many times as he was willing to fire, God would deliver. But how did the king perform when he was put to the test? We've already talked about it briefly. But notice verse 18. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. It must have been easy to fire the first arrow when the man of God was holding his hands and showing him how to perform the task and which direction to fire in. But when left to himself, he got slack in his performance. How often do our efforts get hampered because of our lack of expectation? The Bible says Joash fired 3 arrows into the ground and then he stopped. Why did he stop short of what was possible? Well, there's a lot of things that we could say. I just got a few I want to mention quickly. Can I just say this? First of all, I believe he wanted immediate results. I believe he wanted something that would provide some immediate results. I believe King Joash wanted something more immediate than firing arrows aimlessly out a window that no one can see. In other words, show me how to change the problem now. Anybody ever get like that in prayer? Lord, I don't feel like talking about it anymore. I've talked about it for 10 years. I prayed about it for 10 years and I don't feel like it's done anything. Show me how to change this problem. I want some immediate action. I want you to do something about it right now. Maybe that was what was going through Joash's mind. I want some immediate results. How often do we grow weary when we fail to see immediate results? You know what the book of James says? He said, we have not because we ask not. And when we ask amiss because we want to consume it upon our own desires. Can I tell you something? That ain't going to work in the prayer closet. Saying, Lord, I want some immediate results. Sometimes God's going to work it in a process and it's going to take some time. But can I encourage you? Trust the process of God because it's the means that He has provided. Oh, maybe second of all, he wanted an intelligent strategy. Think about it. From a human standpoint, what sense does it make for a king to stand up and fire arrows out a window into the ground with no immediate target? It's doing absolutely nothing. I want an intelligent strategy. Lord, tell me where I can hit the Syrians where it hurts most. Tell me where their strongholds are. Tell me how I can get into their camp without them knowing. Show me how I can attack them. What place, what time, where exactly at I can move in and do the most harm to them. Don't just have me standing at the window and firing out aimlessly. Don't we want the same thing many times? Many times the Lord begins to share with us how he wants us to act in the process, and we begin counting it up. We say, Lord, that don't make no sense. I want you to show me how to affect the most change right now, to make the most of my efforts, because otherwise I'm just wasting my time. Have you ever heard that old devil jump up on her shoulder? I know we use that illustration. I don't really like it all the time, but old devil start whispering. He starts telling us, oh, you know that prayer. You've prayed it before. What sense does it make to keep talking about? Why don't you just do something about it? Come on. I'm telling you, God will let you know when it's time to do something about it. There was going to come a time when Joash was going to lead the armies in battle, but that day was not the day to lead the people in battle. That was the day to trust God before the victory ever come. Can I tell you something? How in the world are we going to trust God in the day of battle if we can't trust God ahead of time for the victory before the battle ever gets there? If we can't trust God when the Syrians are 200 miles away and we can't even see them, how in the world are we going to trust them when we're looking them eye to eye and we're having to face down the enemy and we can smell his breath, so to speak? Oh, it's not going to happen. Think about Joshua at Jericho. Oh, he's over there looking. I believe he was strategizing personally. You can take it how you want to. I believe he's praying and strategizing how he's going to attack that city. Let me find the weakness in the walls. And there he meets the captain of the host of the Lord's army. And the Lord said, Joshua, I'm just paraphrasing. You can take it how you want to. My own interpretation. You know what he said? Joshua, you got it all wrong. This is how we're going to conquer this. You know what? If Joshua had his way, I guarantee there'd have been a different battle strategy. Because he was a man of war. He'd have found a weak spot somewhere. He'd have tried to exploit some weakness within the city. Oh, but I'm going to tell you, that wasn't God's design. God said, you're going to march around those walls, and on the seventh day, the walls are going to fall flat, and I'm going to give you the city. Oh, it didn't seem like a very intelligent strategy, but guess what? It was the strategy that God was going to use in order to bring the victory. Can I tell you tonight, trust the strategy of God. And final thing that I'll mention about this, when we move forward, maybe he had an indifferent heart. I believe he did. Maybe within the heart of the king, he thought 3 arrows is enough. You know, 3 arrows is more. I beat the Syrians 3 times. 3 times, man, that's a good number. He might have had 5 or 6, 10, 15. I don't know how many arrows were there. He said, but you know what? 3's enough. Oh, have we prayed until we were through, or until God was through with the situation? Come on. I know sometimes I'm guilty of that first one. I pray until I get tired of praying about it and I move on. But how many times do we pray until God gets through with the situation and God gets done moving? You say, Brother Shane, I've spent a lot of time in prayer about that situation and I ain't seen nothing move yet. Oh, but is God done moving there? Is God done working? Has he released us to move on? If not, keep firing the arrows. This was what happened. This is what actually took place here. And the final point, we'll look at what was possible in this situation. We've seen what God had provided through the hand of Elisha. We've seen what was performed by the king, how he fell short of God's promise. Now we come to what was possible. Had the king availed himself of the opportunity that God had provided? Notice verse number 19. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou should have smitten the Syrian, Syria, till thou hast consumed them. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Oh, the enemies of God could have been consumed, but because of his indifference, they were only contained for a season. Oh, how often are we guilty of the same? We pray until God contains it rather than God consuming it and getting rid of it. Oh, How many times I talked about the verse earlier, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. How many times do we just pray until God pulls down part of the stronghold and then we move on and we leave things unfinished, rather than praying until God pulls down the strongholds, casts down the imaginations, and brings every thought into the obedience of the captivity of Christ. I say, God, don't let us stop short. It was what was possible in this situation. I read this story told by Christ in the New Testament about that little woman. Oh, he says there in Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Every day she come knocking. She said, I've got to have justice. And they dismissed her, said, he ain't got time for you. I got bigger cases. I got better things. I got things that'll be more profitable for me to spend my time on. But because of her persistence, oh, what happened? The Bible says that her case was heard. Oh, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him. In other words, he said, though it takes a long time, God will avenge his people. Why? Because they cry out day and night. They aren't just a fair weather prayer, but there's somebody who gets into the prayer closet and pulls back the arrow and fires again and fires again. And when they don't feel like it, they get up and fire again. When all hell is turned loose against them, they fire the arrow again, because they know the promise of God, that God will avenge his own elect. Oh, God's provided us with the weapon, like he did with Joash. He showed us exactly what to use. Gave us the instructions. Oh, he's given us the promise. Oh, and he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, he will avenge them speedily in his own time. Oh, can I tell you tonight, empty the quiver and exhaust yourself in prayer, and it will not go unrewarded, because this is the promise of God. As long as there is an arrow left and a window open, let's strike again. As long as I can grab another arrow and I got a window that is open, let's strike again in faith, believing God to do what he promised. My wife to make her way to the piano this evening. I'll bring it to a close with this. What will we do? I think of all the excuses that Joash could have made. And there's more I'm sure we could come up with, but this is just a few. Maybe say, I stopped shooting because I didn't want to be presumptuous and ask for too much. We ever use that excuse? Well, I just, you know, seems like a big ask. Maybe he said, I stopped shooting because Elisha didn't help me anymore. He stopped showing me how to do it. I didn't feel him grabbing my hands, helping me pull back the arrow. You know what? There's going to come a point in prayer, God's going to turn you loose to do it yourself. Oh, I thank God for those times I feel him rising up on the inside and the Spirit of God uttering. But can I tell you, there's a lot of times prayer isn't dealt like that. There's a lot of times it's an act of faith where I have to strain and I have to pull back the arrow. But by the grace of God, I do it again. Oh, maybe he said, I stopped shooting because I thought three was plenty. I stopped shooting because I didn't think it would do any good. I stopped shooting because I wasn't in a shooting mood and I didn't feel like it. Oh my. How many times we use that one? You know, I got down to pray, but I really wasn't in a praying mood, so I just got back up. Can I tell you something? We got to pray through that. Pray until you feel like praying. And then when you feel like praying, then pray. keep pulling back the bowstring until it becomes natural, until you build up the muscles. And you know what you'll find? There'll be every once in a great while we'll realize, I'm not doing this in my own strength. I feel God rising up on the inside of me. I feel the hand of God upon me. Oh, but none of these excuses are sufficient. You know, if I could give Joash any advice, you know what I'd say? Joash, grab the quiver and keep shooting until it's empty. Till you can't find an arrow anywhere, keep shooting, Joash. Or until the man of God tells you to stop. Can I tell you tonight, church, keep praying until you can't find a prayer left. Or until God tells you to stop. Maybe I could even give him a little advice from another little story there out of the book of 2 Kings in the life of Elisha. Bible said he came upon this widow woman. She's getting ready to get evicted. And her son's getting ready to go into slavery. What in the world am I going to do? You know what he told her? He said, you go borrow vessels, not a few. I tell Joash tonight, shoot every arrow you got and then ask your neighbors, have you got any arrows? Hey, have we got any more in the armory? Because I'm not done shooting yet. God's gave me a promise. And until whether the man of God tells me to stop or I run out of arrows, whichever one happens first, I'm going to keep shooting out the window in the direction God gave me. Oh man, I felt encouraged when I thought about that. I said, Lord, help me. When I don't feel like it, pull back the bow one more time. Anybody got any arrows tonight? If we got any arrows left, let's keep shooting. Let's stand this evening all over the building. If we got any prayers left to pray, let's pray them. And let's mean business when we pray. You say, Brother Shane, there's a few times I've shot that arrow and it didn't go exactly where I wanted it to go. I felt like it fell right to the ground. Well, God sees that. Don't let that stop you from the next time pulling back the bow. Well, a lot of people do, they feel like they failed in prayer, so they just give up. Oh, you know, I feel like it's done nothing, so I'm just going to stop. No, 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 no. Keep on, as long as that window's open, keep firing the arrows. Oh, and empty the quiver. So every head's bowed, every eye's closed this evening about to pray. God's provided the means. He's provided the instruction and help. The promise of what he will do. All we have to do is find the open window and fire the arrows in the direction that God has given us. So I say, Lord, let us empty the quiver one arrow at a time. One arrow at a time. One prayer at a time. I'm going to empty the quiver. You know what I believe you'll find? I believe you'll find like that little widow woman. Oh, there in the days of Elijah. Oh, that the quiver will never run out. Like that pot of oil never ran out. She kept pouring and there was still more. You know what you'll find? I believe you'll find that there's still more to be prayed about. Oh, there's still another arrow left. Just when you think you shot the last one, I've got another one. I'm going to pull back again. And by God's grace, I'm going to trust him for the outcome. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy. Lord, I pray, help us to one prayer at a time to keep shooting. Keep firing out the window that you've opened. And as long as the window is open and we got the liberty, Lord, let us keep firing the arrows. Because it's not about what's happening now, but it's about what you have promised is going to happen all through your word. You gave us a promise, Lord, that if we ask, we're going to receive. If we seek, we're going to find. And if we knock, the door's going to get open. So, Lord, let us be of a people that will ask until we receive, seek until we find, and knock until the door swings open by your grace. Lord, I ask it in the name of Jesus. Can we all find a place to pray tonight? I trust that we can all find something within this message. Because if there is anything I believe we could all stand to do a little more of and could learn just to do a little better, it's praying. I need lessons in prayer all the time to be reminded of how important it is and how productive it is. How God works through our prayers. When we send them forth in faith, they may seem like an arrow striking the ground, but we have a promise attached to it that God said he would move on our behalf. So let's pray in faith tonight.